Jeremiah chapter 29. And we're going to read verses 1 to 6 and verses 11 to 14, which are in your pew Bible or also in the will also be on the screen for us to read it together. So Jeremiah 29, verses 1 to 14, but stopping at verse 6 and then picking up at verse 11. Would you please stand and let's read this together. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, read it with me please, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Have wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease." And then verse 11, is there another one there? Yeah, there we go. "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I called you into exile." Would you please remain standing and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you are here this morning, and you have called us to this place at this time, in this part of your forever story. So Lord, would you now speak to us by your Spirit, strengthen us through your word, and help us to hear your voice that we may follow you, Lord, here in this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Adele Gayberry had some good neighbors. No one could accuse her of not being, accuse them of not being good neighbors. Because after all, they cut her grass when her grass grew too high. When the water seemed to be coming out from under her door, they called the water company and they shut off the water. And finally, when her mailbox just kind of exploded with mail, finally they called the post office, and the post office called the police, and the police went out and they broke in, and there they found her on a pile that was about 4 feet high, and they figured she'd been there for 4 years. And her 70-year-old neighbor, who lived about 20 feet away, said, it's not a real friendly neighborhood. And, I was busy. I was working. I had a couple of jobs. I was sick of her because she kept coming over. And then I finally stopped answering the door. He thought that he had his act together, but he was a little too busy. And isn't that way for us too? You know, we try and get our act together. We try and take care of people in our realm, in our neighborhood, in our realm of influence. But, You know, it's just hard to pull things together, even for us as Christians. For us as Christians, you know, we got church too. We got a corn fest coming up. We got stuff that keeps us busy around here. But it's hard for us, even as followers of Jesus, to bring everything together. We get busy with everything around in our lives. And that's the way that it was for the Jews. Long, long time before this was written, the Lord made the earth. We got a lot of kids out there today. This is good, okay? I think there's a mama on her way. And that's the way that the planet is, you know, because we messed up at the beginning. And then the Lord said, I'm going to create families. And little did the families know what was going to be created. And then he said, I'm going to pick one family. And they said, okay, everything's going to be perfect now. But it wasn't, was it? And then things kept getting worse and worse and worse. Until we know that God's people rebelled, the southern kingdom or the northern kingdom was totally destroyed, and then the southern kingdom, where Jerusalem was on its way into exile. On the street in Jerusalem, they were saying, "Resist, resist, resist, and Jerusalem won't fall." But the Lord gave Jeremiah a message that had two parts to it. One was, don't resist. This judgment is from me. These things have gotten so bad that I have turned against my own people. I am bringing these invaders in. I am the one that's sending you to Babylon. Do not resist, or things will get worse. And they did. But the other side of it, which we see in this wonderful passage, is that he said, I am a God of mercy. I remember what I promised way at the beginning of time, that I would be merciful to you, that I would be gracious to you. And one day I will bring you back. So keep looking to me. We're finishing out our series on We Are the Church. And we're looking this morning at Shalom in the City. And how ironic that we're looking at it on the anniversary weekend of 9/11. We're going to pray a prayer at the end of the service, a time when it's far from shalom, far from peace, far from integration in the city or in our world. It seems like we're more divided than ever before. That 9/11 brought us together. In my memory, we weren't that much together before 9/11. But that brought us together, and now we're more divided than ever, it seems. It's a time when we need to hear from the Lord. The popular message is get out there and fight. Get out there and dig in and be difficult and just fight to the end for Christian values or whatever it is that we're carrying with us. I heard someone this week say we got a couple of choices as church leaders. One of those is to learn both sides of the argument and to try and talk people through it. He said the other thing that we can do is go to this book and proclaim what this book says, and that's what we're doing this morning. It's not easy to relate to this world that we're in. But because like Israel, it's an exilic life that we have, that we're part of. Israel was going into exile because she had ignored the message of the prophets for over 400 years. And so she was now being sent into Babylon, a place that was very uncomfortable for her, that many of her people had already begun to go. Most of them had already gone. The strong ones had been dragged off in chains. Many of them had lost their lives. And when they got there, they're experiencing things like Daniel experienced. They experienced, they weren't experiencing kosher foods. The lifestyle was paganism. There were gods, you name it, that were there in Babylon. It was a very, very uncomfortable place for them. And they didn't like it. And the ones that were left back home were the old people and the weak people. And I don't know why he was left there, but old Jeremiah was left behind. And the Lord said, I want you to send a letter to the leaders of my people that are still living in Babylon. And here's what I want you to tell them, that God sent them here. You remember, we're part of a much bigger story, that God is bigger than all of this stuff that's going around us. When the apostles wrote to the early believers, they had been scattered all over the empire, the Roman Empire. And it was out of that experience that the apostles said, okay, now listen. You're not just aliens from your hometown. You're aliens on the planet, Peter wrote. Paul wrote, he said, you're citizens of heaven. It's not whether you're a citizen of Palestine or a citizen of Rome. He said, you are a citizen of heaven. And Jesus himself said, when he prayed for us, he said that they and we are not of this world. Back when during the Jesus movement, one of the early Christian rockers was a guy that looked like he was from another planet in that day. Larry Norman wrote a song and put out an album called Only Visiting This Planet. And there he was, I'm guessing in L.A., looking around. I'm only a visitor here. I'm an alien on this planet. And he reminded us, well, that's the way that it is for us. We're only here for a while. Maureen and I were up in Ontario, last week, and we were so grateful for your prayers, and it was fun to get some, Tim Hortons donuts and all of that stuff. But we couldn't wait to get home. Hard to leave Dad behind, but we couldn't wait to get home. We were only visiting in Ontario. And that's the way that it is for us right now. We're only visiting here. Now, we pray that the Father's will, that things will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when it's not, we get angry, don't we? Because we wish it was the way it's going to be back home. But you know what? We're only here for a while. We get excited when good things happen, when we see some of the good things that we'll know one day forever in heaven that are happening. We jump up and down and say, oh, finally, finally, finally. But folks, we're not home yet. We're only visiting this planet. And Jeremiah's message to them and to us is that God sent us here. And he has called us, like Jesus, to live in this tension that we hate of living between two kingdoms. One in the kingdom of the U.S. of A. for most of us. One in the kingdom of God, an already but not yet existence that God has called us to and to give witness in. So how do we do that? Well, he says, here's what our exilic calling looks like. And he was speaking again to people who had lost friends and loved ones, been dragged off to Babylon. He says, live life. Many of you are going to die before anybody gets home. You're going to be there for 70 years. But he says, live life, settle down, build your homes, get married. If God give you a spouse, get your kids married off, have children, have grandchildren, have nieces and nephews. Live your life to the full. Don't just leave your bags packed and say, I'm not going to do anything. No, unpack your bag, get your tools out, make a garden, however you do that, dig a garden out. Make things grow, you farmers. Live life to the full because God has called you to that. Bless your community where he has called you to with shalom. Now, shalom is the word it's a hard word to translate. We often translate it as peace. And it is peace, but it's more than that. What shalom is, it's an integrated life. Bring wholeness to the light, to your life, he says. And he says, bring it to the community in which you live. Don't just survive. Bring the blessing of God and the wholeness that only you know to the world around you. Pray for this community, he said to them, in which you live, this crazy place with all of its idols and its terrible non-kosher food that you would never eat in a million years, and this pagan lifestyle that is surrounding you and all of the terrible things that are happening on, and even these people who have hurt you and hurt your family and hurt your community. Pray for that city. Pray that good would come. Because if God brings shalom to your city, guess what? You'll know shalom as well. Pray for the city because if things will go well there, it'll go good for you. It'll go well for you also. Pray for peace. Pray for wholeness because then it'll be yours as well. And when they say to resist and just dig in and be angry and refuse to live life to the full, don't listen, he says. Don't place it on hold. If you read farther down after verse 14, you see what the Lord had to say to the false messengers who claimed to know him. He said I'll let you read on. He said that their end was not going to be good. Quite a while back, Maureen and I lived in southern Maine with our kids. And we lived down the street from one of the biggest camping resorts in the state. And during the summers, they would bring in kids, students, you know, from all over the world, you know, to be temporary workers and to learn American culture. So I remember a whole bunch coming in from Romania and from all over the world. They would come and they would work at that camp and learn about American culture. And I remember one day going up to the town library and seeing some of these temporary workers there, and asking the librarian about it. She said, yeah, these are some of the kids from the resort. And I said, oh yeah, well that's nice. She said, yeah, but she said we're concerned about some of them. I said, why? She said, because some of them spend so much time on a computer connecting with home that they're not connecting with here. And isn't that the type of thing that we do as forever residents with Jesus? Don't we sometimes, we get so focused on what's going on among God's people. We get so focused on our Bible reading and our prayer, and those are good things. We're not going to our community group, or whatever it is that we're doing, our devotional reading, our little Christian world, that we forget about bringing shalom to the world in which we live. You turn on Christian radio or television, or you know, even non-Christian, those who claim to be Christians, sometimes I have questions, but what are they saying? Saying fight, fight. Or they're saying hide, hide. Don't be careful of this world. You know, don't listen to what they're saying. Hide and get into a hole and get away from it. Read Christian magazines and Christian radio and Christian, I could go on and on. But that's the message we get, is just be careful and hide and run. But the Lord says, don't listen to them. Unpack your bags. Live life to the full. Build your homes, multiply your lives and your influence where you are. He's pointing back to the beginning of creation. When the Lord said what? He said, be fruitful and multiply. It wasn't just people he was saying to multiply. It was our lives. It was the influence. It was the witness of the kingdom that he was called us to multiply, that others would look on and see the flourishing of Christ in us, of us becoming little by little more and more what Christ called us to be and his life among us, that they would look on and say, oh, I want that too. I want that Jesus too. You see, our goal, Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, is to bring everything under the lordship of Jesus, to bring shalom, wholeness, to this temporary place in which we live, to live abundant lives. Jesus said in John 10:10, full lives that are rich and meaningful, not defeated lives, where the kingdom of God would be expressed not just on Sunday mornings. Our culture, and when we listen to our culture, it says just live, just be religious on a Sunday, please. You know, 10:15 to 11:30 is about right. No, but that's not what shalom is. Shalom is wholeness. It's living out our lives on Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, every day of the week, 24 hours a day, that others might see Jesus shining in and through us, and the joy and the fruits of the Spirit coming in and through us, that others might look on and say, I want to know that Jesus too. See, Jesus has called us, has sent us here. Now. In this wonderful year of 2021, we get to heaven, we're saying, Jesus, why did you send me there then? And some of our brothers and sisters that were in Babylon say, you don't know what you're talking about. You had it mighty good compared to us. And the Lord's going to say, I sent them there. I sent you where you are. And I sent lots of other folks in between and probably beyond until that day that I came back for you. We are blessed to be a blessing. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's a tough calling. It's a tough calling, isn't it? But Jesus has gone before us. This life of tension that he's called us to is never resolved. But I want you to look at our idyllic promise. And remember where this promise was given, who it was given to. The Lord says to Israel, he says, in 70 years, I'm bringing you back. You didn't keep your end of the deal, but I'm keeping my end of the deal. I'm going to keep my promise. Why? Because I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. The word there in the original is shalom. Plans for shalom, plans for peace, plans for wholeness, and not to harm you, plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future that's forever and ever and ever. And 70 years later, he did bring them back. And God's people in that day repented for a while, but then they went the other direction again. And so the Lord sent more invaders. And they went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until finally the Lord said, I'm sending one Jewish boy. And he will be the Messiah. And he is the one that will bring peace to this world. And he came and he gave his life for us, that if we would put our faith and hope and trust in him forever, that he then would bring his life to us so that we then could share his peace, share the shalom, the wholeness of life with the world so that others could know him as well now and forever and ever. It was a classic story about a man named Norman, some of you might recall. It was a man in Illinois by the name of Mike Adkins. And Mike was in this sweet little town, and you know, they'd have evening services at their churches in those days, and they'd get done with their service and they'd all congregate over at the ice cream shop, and they'd say, "Oh, hey, Mr. So-and-so, oh, Mrs. So-and-so, how are you doing tonight? Today, what did they talk about in your church today? Oh, we talked about this, we talked about that," and all the Christians had this nice little holy huddle that got together and just enjoying every Sunday night. And he had a neighbor by the name of Norman who was kind of strange. He was a recluse, and the kids were afraid of him. On Halloween, they'd run to the door, and they'd ring, and then they'd run, and you know, the windows were all dilapidated, and it was, he was a mess. He would just kind of groan, and he was a strange duck. And the Lord said, "I want you to knock on that duck's door and bring him some love and some peace." And so he knocked on his door, and it took a little while, but Norman finally came to the door. And then he felt like the Lord was saying, "Okay, why don't you mow his lawn?" So he started mowing his lawn. And then the Lord led him kicking and screaming. He said, "Hey, why don't you go in and see what he needs inside?" And so he helped him clean up inside. And then he started to... He looked at Norman. You know, Norman hadn't had a bath in a long time. And he said, "Norman," he said, "I think you need a bath." And he didn't clean everything, but he cleaned quite a bit of Norman off and let Norman finish the rest. And then he invited Norman to church. And Norman came to Jesus. And Norman's life was changed. And their church was changed. And that whole community was changed. Because Mike said, "Yes, Jesus, I'm going to bring shalom to this city." I wonder who's living next door to you. I know who's living next door to me. I wonder who's living down the street. I wonder who's in the neighborhood of the church or of your place. I wonder who's in the desk across the room, or in the lunchroom, or in the workplace, or at the grocery store. Who's the cashier or the shopper that needs some love and some care? Who can you bring peace to? We have opportunity. We have a huge opportunity to bring shalom to our community. Say, "Yes, Jesus, we're going to follow your calling. We're going to be part of changing this world by the grace of God. We're going to pack out that food pantry that we bring food for. We're going to bring a lot of people to Cornfest that need Jesus or just need some loving." And when you tap on our shoulder and tell us to knock on the next door, or you tap on our shoulder and you tell us to go and talk to that person that nobody wants to talk to in the next cubicle or on the job site, we're going to say yes, because Jesus left heaven to come to us that we might share Christ with the world. I'm going to invite those who will be serving communion to come forward.